Thank you very much for reading that for us and helping us to focus. It's a long passage, not as long as the one that Peter had last week, but still a lot to cover. And there are some chapters in the Bible that don't make much sense the first time we read them. And the chapter that we're looking at this morning, Isaiah chapter 10, probably falls into that category. And we've just read it together, and I would guess that not a lot of that went in. Not a lot of it made sense, especially if that was the first time that we read or heard that chapter. And I say that particularly this morning because I know that some of our Lava youth are with us, because today is Serving Sunday, and most weeks are 11 to 15-year-olds. They have their own group to go to on a Sunday morning, but once a month, we give them the opportunity to join in with one of the teams that help with the running of things. So that means that some of them are with us here this morning rather than in their group. And I've tried to take that into account in what I've prepared. So it's great that they're here, but unlike most of us, they haven't had the benefit of hearing all about the things that we've been hearing about from the book of Isaiah. They haven't been following this series over the past 10 weeks like most of us have. So potentially, that's a bit of a problem. But it also highlights an issue that most of us face. The Bible, as we keep on saying, isn't an easy book to read or to make sense of. I think the book of Isaiah is a particularly challenging book to understand. So the question that I've been thinking about is what's going to help us this morning? What's going to help us to pay attention to these particular words and this particular chapter? And I think we're all in the same boat. We all struggle to pay attention, especially when it's warm, we haven't had much sleep, we're tired. And when we're reading from the Bible, or we're listening to someone who's talking to us, we can easily get distracted or we switch off completely. But that isn't a new problem. God told Isaiah to go and tell people to be ever hearing but never understanding, to be ever seeing but never perceiving. And that's the problem, isn't it? We can read the Bible, we can listen to people talking about it, and even though we hear the words, or we read the words, we don't understand. We don't really understand what it's about. And I know that's as true for me as for anyone else. So last week, Peter was talking to us about passion and fury. And he covered quite a lot, including the first four verses of chapter 10. And he asked us a question about what we're passionate about. You probably remember that if you were here last week. What are we passionate about? And it's a good question, I think, to ask, because it reveals quite a lot when we think about what we're passionate about, or looking at it from a slightly different perspective, what would other people who know us well, what would they say we're passionate about? And with the World Cup going on at the moment, one thing that we might be particularly passionate about is sport or football. But some people don't like sport at all. So what are some of the other possible passions that people might have? What are some of the passions? Music can be a passion. We've got a great worship band who play for us, and for some people it's music that really is their passion. What about games? Lots of people like to play games, video games, computer games, board games. For me, food is a passion. For other people, shopping, gardening, holidays, health, family, friends, fitness, photography, decorating, DIY, cars, or camping, or clothes. Or what about entertainment, or education, or the environment, or politics, or religion? The list goes on and on and on. So why don't you turn to the person next to you and ask them what they think they're passionate about? So ask them the question, what do you think you're passionate about? Okay, and once you've discovered what your neighbour is passionate about, why don't you let them ask you the question, what are you passionate about? So swap around if you haven't done that already. Okay, it's gone quiet. So now I'm not going to ask you what you talked about, but to bring it back to this chapter of Isaiah. In this chapter, it mentions the Assyrians, and in particular, the king of Assyria. And he was a powerful man, a passionate man, I think we would say. But what, from this chapter, what was the king of Assyria passionate about? So if you've got the Bible and the passage open in front of you, what is the king of Assyria passionate about? And you might want to read or focus from verse 8 to 11, and then 13 and 14, where it's the king of Assyria who is speaking. As you're looking at it, I'll read it. Are not my commanders all kings, he says? Has not Calno fared like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad and Samaria like Damascus? As my hand seized the kingdoms of the idols, kingdoms whose images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not deal with Jerusalem and her images as I dealt with Samaria and her idols? And then verse 13, for he says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding, I removed the boundaries of nations. I plundered their treasures like a mighty one. I subdued their kings as one reaches into a nest. So my hand reached for the wealth of the nations. As people gather abandoned eggs, so I gathered all the countries. Not one flapped a wing or opened its mouth to chirp. That's the king of Assyria. Assyria began, so today we're in the 21st century, we can think about superpowers and powerful people that are in the world today. 21st century BC is when Assyria started. It became a very powerful nation. So what is the king of Assyria passionate about? What would you say? If you've got any thoughts, just shout them out. Treasure? Power, profit. Yep. Anything else? Fighting. Countries, taking over countries. Yep. He's power mad, it would seem. He wants to take over the world. He wants to dominate everyone, everywhere. And if that's what the king of Assyria is passionate about, let's ask the question from this chapter, what is God passionate about? Okay, and you might want to read the verses where God is speaking. So verses 5, 6, and 7, and then verses 24 and 25. But there are other things in the chapter. But what is God passionate about from this chapter? This is tricky. That's an important question for us to know, what's God passionate about. Do you say his people? Relying on him, yeah. He's passionate about people, and in particular, his people. Although there is a sense in which God created everyone. But he's passionate about people believing in him, trusting in him, relying on him. There's that great verse, verse 20. I think this is, yeah, if I want to take a verse away from this passage, I'd want to take away this verse, verse 20. In that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of Jacob, there's going to be survivors, there will be survivors, but the survivors need to survive what's going to happen to them. In that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. So God's also passionate about holiness and righteousness. Anything else that we feel God is passionate about? He's passionate about people. Sounds a bit louder. Yes, yeah, there's a lot in there. In fact, the passage kind of divides into two. So up to verse 19 is the first half, and then up to verse from 20 to 34 is the second half. But they both those sections end in the same way. So let me just read verses 18 and 19. God's talking about what he's going to do, what's going to happen in the future. The splendor of his forests and fertile fields, it will completely destroy, as when one who is ill wastes away. The remaining trees of his forests will be so few that a child could write them down. And then verse 33 and 34. See, the Lord Almighty will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One. He's talking about destruction, about cutting down trees, but it's a picture of what God will do to get rid of all that is wrong in the world. That's what God is passionate about. He's passionate about removing everything that causes harm, that is wrong, that is evil, removing all of that from the world. And that's what God is about. And that's what we read about in this chapter. I think there's another verse that helps us to know what God is passionate about, and that's verse 27. In that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken. And this is Isaiah speaking to people who are going to be oppressed, who will find life very hard. And we can think of groups of people like that in the world today, finding life really hard. Some of us are probably finding life really hard at the moment as well. But that's not the end of the story, because God is the one who lifts burdens. If we have a yoke on our shoulders, that can be removed by the Lord. The yoke will be broken. So this is a promise of hope. We've talked a lot about hope. We'll continue to talk about hope over the next couple of weeks as we come to the end of this series. But if we want to know what this passage is saying, I'm just going to summarize it in three things. God works through people. God was working through the king of Assyria, but he didn't realize it. He thought it was all his doing, but God was using him to fulfill his purposes, to deal with evil and wrongdoing. And God continues to work through people today. He works through us. He's at work in us, and he works through us. And if that's true, then there are two things that flow out from that. First is that we shouldn't be proud. The problem with the king of Assyria is he thought he was doing it all himself. And even though God was using him to achieve certain purposes, he went far beyond those purposes. Verse 6, God dispatched him against a people who angered him, to seize loot and to snatch plunder and to trample them down like the mud in the streets. But this is not what the king intended. His purpose is to destroy, to put an end to many nations. So God was using the king of Assyria, but he didn't know that. He thought it was all about himself. So don't be proud. And then the other thing that flows out from God working through people is that we should rely on the Lord. We've said that already. We should rely on God achieving what he wants to achieve. However things look in the world, however difficult they seem, however challenging things are, we need to rely on the Lord. Every day, all the time, however things look, It's the only thing that will see us through. It's the only thing that will carry us through, is to rely on the Lord. So I encourage you to read through this chapter again later on today. See if what I've been sharing really is what's there in this chapter. And let's just pray together and ask the Lord for his help. Lord, we thank you that every chapter in the Bible, everything that we read from your word is full of your words, your instructions for us, Lord, the things that you want us to know about and to understand. And Lord, we know that that understanding comes through looking to you rather than relying on ourselves or on anyone else, Lord. So we pray that you would help us as we live our lives, Lord, to know that you work through us, Lord, that you lift our burdens, Lord, that you are always doing what you have planned to do. However things look to us, Lord, you are in control of everything. So help us, Lord, to be humble before you. Lord, help us to be aware in our hearts and in our minds of what you are doing. Lord, thank you that you reveal what you're doing, and we can learn about that together. Lord, pray that you would help us to be sensitive to you. Lord, not to give up because things seem so difficult, but to trust in you and to rely on your strength, Lord, the strength that you give us. And Lord, pray that you would fill our hearts with peace in your presence, because you are the mighty God, you are the Holy One. And Lord, we want you to fulfill your purposes in our world, Lord, through us, in us. For your glory we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.